Of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I agree that we heard the sound of amazing grace, and it was the sweetest sound that we have ever heard. And the beauty about it, we respond to that sound. Amen. As we, God bless you, musicians. Brother Nathaniel, God bless you richly. Is your wife here as well? Just wave so that believers can see you. Amen. God bless you richly. You just see Becky when you look at Brother Nathaniel there. Amen. Striking resemblance. God bless you, my friend. Now, let's turn to 1 Kings. Chapter 17. 1:7. Verse 1. It's 1 Kings 17:1. We can read it together. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. Not according to God's weight. The man is bold. He says, according to my weight, I'm going to shut the heavens all these years. What a bold ministry. What a bold ministry. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This was the letter that was addressed to the Thyatira Age, which is a seed that was planted throughout the seven church ages. And this morning I want to speak, or maybe let's go to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17. James 5, verse 17 and 18. And Elias was a man subjected to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. The Bible says he was just like a man, just like us, a man of passions as we are. Amen. Amen. So the Bible wanted to show you that Elijah was not an extraordinary man. He just served an extraordinary God. Amen. When an ordinary man serves an extraordinary God, it makes an ordinary man extraordinary. Amen. Are you saving an extraordinary God this morning? Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we appreciate you to be in your presence this morning. You made it possible for us to be here. Not even a single demon could stop us from coming this way. We were determined this morning that we want to be in your presence, worship and glorify your name, and declare you to be supreme above all the gods upon the face of the earth. There is no one like you. Dear God, you spoke the universe into existence. Before the universe, there was no one. It was just you and you alone. And dear God, you filled up eternity. But the beauty about it is your attributes, we were in you. And Lord, you began to speak things and things began to manifest. And in the end time, you spoke the word. And the word has brought the regathering of the subjects, the original subjects that were once in your mind. This morning, we cannot make anyone a child of God, but we can only trace their place of origin. And this message this morning, it is the DNA test. It tests the origin of people. It tests their paternity, dear God. And I'm glad that there are those that are sitting here that can say, we have passed the paternity test. And the paternity test is to believe the revealed word of the hour and to stand with it in an uncompromising manner. For that, we appreciate you, dear God. We bind every spirit this morning that the Holy Spirit can move through the audience unhindered and minister to the needs of the people, dear God. Those that are weary, let them, dear God, be rejuvenated. And those that are sick, may you heal them, dear God. Those who seek an understanding, may you grant them the understanding. Whatever need that is in the building, may you grant it, Heavenly Father. But Lord, even before I preempt anything, I want to declare that Satan, you are defeated. I want to declare that if you've got a hold on people's lives, or if you've got a hold, dear God, on their situations, right now, I dislocate you from that position in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. This is the church of the living God. How many times I've heard the prophet messenger speaking to the people and say, Satan, get your hands off her, get your hands off him. They are God's property. This morning I'm standing here declaring this church to be God's property. And I say, Satan, with your dirty hands, get your hands off these people, dear God. These are the people of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, set free, and they are heaven bound this morning. And there is nothing that you will do that will derail them, as we commit everything to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Just switch it off for me. As you take your seats, amen. This morning, I just want to speak on the spirit of Elijah warring against the Jezebel system. The spirit of Elijah warring against the Jezebel system. That's what I would want to speak on this morning. Amen. I think it is very safe just to kickstart by saying, no one can overcome the spirit of Jezebel unless you are subject to the voice of Elijah. I'm going to repeat that. No one can overcome the spirit of Jezebel unless they are subjected to the voice of Elijah. Maybe if it is the only statement that I say for the sermon and close, I will just dwell on this one. No one can overcome the spirit of Jezebel unless they are subject to the spirit of Elijah. No one can outmaneuver Jezebel unless you are on the side of Elijah. Are you still with me? Have you heard me? I have not said no one can out-sing, no one can out-praise, no one can out-preach. I'm saying subject to the voice of Elijah makes you a conqueror over the spirit of Jezebel. Amen. Are you still with me? Maybe just to get it so that you relax. The spirit of Jezebel was more was introduced through a woman, but it never remained genderless. A man can even have the spirit of Jezebel. Oh yes, a man can be under the spirit of Jezebel. Because the moment you speak about Jezebel, then the brothers fold their legs and say, now we are going to relax. Amen. It does not work like that. This spirit, it attacks everybody irrespective of gender. Are you with me? Now, let's put it this way. Or maybe let's go through the man called Elijah. The Bible says, Brahm says, the Bible doesn't say much about Elijah. It just opens with the phrase, Elijah the Tishbite. No background, no credentials. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. We just see a man coming from an unknown background, but he barges into the palace, confronts the king, the kingdom of the time, and declares upon that kingdom. Remember, rain was cherishable during that time. Rain is what fueled the economy. Without rain, that means everything was going to be compromised. But this man comes from an unknown background, tells Ahab that as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my weight. Just before we get to anything, this is the man that believes in the power of the spoken word. He believes the spoken word can make the kingdom of the time to bow down to him and say, it will not rain until I say so. And because I said it will not rain, then it will not rain. Are you still with me? For me, I already see the third pool ministry here. A man that can control the natural elements and say, it will not happen until I say so. Power of the spoken word. Are you still with me? Now, just to give you a background, Elijah comes during a difficult time, during the time of Israel. Brother Branham says, during this time, Israel had backslidden. It was a time where there was a spiritual pollution within Israel. And maybe just to explain to you what was happening during that time, maybe I think a phrase in the book of Judges where it says, in those days, but it's not referring to those days, but I just loved the phrase. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But here, there was a king, Ahab, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That means if everybody does whatever is right to them, it tells you about how standardless the age was. There was absolutely no standard. Everybody just woke up and did what was right during that time. And I believe that you are beginning to see, or you see, that in our time, we are living during a time where standards are not there. Amen. Are you still with me? Amen. We live during a time where standards are not there. I sometimes hear, listen to people speaking, some they say, you know, when we grew up, you know, the standard of soccer was high. Then you go among the jazz musicians, they tell you, when we grew up, the standard of jazz was high. You go among worshippers, they say, when we were growing up, the standard of worship was high. You go among women, some women, they say, when we were growing up, the standard of modesty was high. You go among working people or brothers, they tell you that when we were growing up, work ethics were high. So, but it looks like in every area of life, standards began to drop. Are you with me? Everywhere, including even the standard of holiness, began to drop. But I'm glad the Bible says, when Satan cometh like a flood, the Spirit of God shall raise a standard. We are living during a time where when standards drop, there's got to be the people that subject themselves to the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God will raise the standard. Folks, we are not going to drop the standard. We are going to raise the standard. Are you still with me? Don't drop the standards of our children. Let's raise the standard for them. It is in them. God will make it somehow for them to meet the standard. Are you still with me? Now, let's get into it. So it was during a time where Israel had had several wicked kings. There had been succession of seven wicked kings that reigned over Israel. The first one, it was Jeroboam. The second one, it was Nadab. Another one, it was Baasha. Ela was a drunkard and a murderer. And there was another one called Zimri, who was guilty of treason. And there was Omri, who was the father of Ahab. Then there was Ahab. And Omri, we know that he was a murderer. Amen. So, seven succession of wicked kings. Already, I think it rings a bell that we've had the seven church ages. And after the seven church ages, in the seventh one, things are even more notorious. Things are more wicked. Things are more vile. Are we together? Now we find out that during that time, then Ahab went and married a woman called Jezebel. The word Jezebel means chaste. And after he married this, Brother Bram says, he married outside the covenant. Are you with me? He married outside the covenant. And the woman that he married, this woman was coming from a background of idolatry. Are you still with me? Her father was one of the priests of Baal. And when she got married to Ahab, she was determined that I will not leave my God. There is a difference between Ruth and Jezebel. Jezebel said, I'm coming with my gods. But Ruth said, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. Where you will be buried, I will be buried. But with Jezebel, she said, look, this is a grand opportunity for me to introduce my religion into the kingdom of Israel. Are you still with me? And Brother Branham says, Ahab was a believer, but he was a borderline believer. Brother Branham says, you would rather be a pure sinner than to be a borderline believer. A borderline believer is the most dangerous person in the kingdom of God. Are we together? So that's why Brother Branham says, God, take me upon the face of the earth before I become a hypocrite. I don't know how many have got such a desire. Take me away from the face of the earth before I become a hypocrite. Are you still with me? Now let's put it this way. I need somewhere where Brother Branham explains here. Now, during that time, let's make it like this. Amen. Now, so I'm saying I'm going to speak about Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, warring against the Jezebel spirit. Now, during that time, we see a conflict. Now, after Ahab had married Jezebel, this is what happened. Just not far from the palace, there was a vineyard. And that vineyard belonged to a civilian called, Naboth. Now, this vineyard that belonged to Naboth, Ahab approached Naboth and said, because the vineyard is close by, let me buy it. Whatever price that you give it to me, I will pay it and get the vineyard. Or I will move you to a different vineyard. Naboth said, this is the inheritance from my fathers. I will not sell it even for a price. Are you still with me? Young people, there are certain things that can never be sold for a price. And this message, it is our inheritance. It must never be sold for a price. Not for popularity, nothing. It must never be sold for a price. It's non-negotiable. It is the inheritance from our forefathers. Now, Ahab came back and he was quite despondent. And he just couldn't even eat. Now, when he was there looking disturbed, then Sister Jezebel asked a question and said, what bothers you? Then Ahab explained that I wanted to get to the vineyard, but Naboth refused. And now Jezebel realized that, he refused. I'll make a plan. Then she wrote the letters to all the elders of Israel. And in that letter, she told them that they must call a meeting. And in that meeting, they must call Naboth. And when Naboth comes there, they must accuse Naboth that he had insulted the king and God. And as a result, he must be killed. Stay with me. She wrote those letters in the name of Ahab. It was not Ahab that was writing the letters. So what is happening? This spirit wanted to hijack the throne. Although Ahab was the face of leadership, but he was not a leader. The leader was Jezebel. And now, they brought Naboth, and they killed Naboth. And after they killed Naboth, that's when we see a grand entrance of Elijah confronting Ahab, telling Ahab that right where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, your wife one day, she's going to be eaten by the dogs. And thus thou says the Lord. Are you still with me? Now, it was a prophecy that was set over Jezebel. But now, we realize that once a prophecy is spoken, it does not happen immediately. Sometimes it gets forgotten. People carry on with their lives. Now, as they carried on with their lives, then this woman began to exert her influence upon Ahab to introduce her gods into Israel. Now, Israel moved from worshiping the true living God and began to worship Baal, which was the god of nature. Let's put it this way. Now, Brother Branham says, right there, we see a conflict beginning, starting from Elijah and Jezebel. In the Message Life, paragraph 60, Brother Branham says, Jezebel hated her pastor. Elijah was a pastor to Jezebel. Whether Jezebel liked it or not, Elijah was ordained to be a pastor of Jezebel. And whether the system likes it, the Elijah of today is the pastor of the people for today. Are you still with me? But I'm going to show that. It says, her pastor was Elijah. But he told her what was going to happen. She had to listen anyhow. She wouldn't accept him as the pastor, but God sent him as the pastor. He was God's pastor. When I'm talking about pastor, I'm talking about on a prophetic level. Elijah, whether Jezebel liked it or not, Elijah was a prophet of Israel. And anybody from the palace down to the janitor, they had to be subject to the word of Elijah. Are you still with me, people? Can I put it this way? The word of Elijah was the absolute during the time of Ahab. And if the voice or the word of Elijah was the absolute, we will not tolerate the nonsense of the debates that are going on, whether the message is the absolute or not. The message is the absolute. Are you still with me? Because the way the message, and I've shown you many a times in this church, that we've heard our Bible, but it was a closed Bible. And after a while, God sent a prophet with a message. And the message was not an edition. The message was the same Bible now in a revealed form. Are you still with me? Now, you cannot say you've got the message, you've got the Bible. You are losing your mind. Because the message and the Bible, it's exactly the same thing. Therefore, the message, as much as the Bible is the absolute, the message is the absolute. That means if you reject the message, you reject the Bible. And that means if you accept the message, you accept the Bible. Because the message and the Bible is exactly the same thing in a revealed form. Are you here, people? We're not going to be wishy-washy about what we believe in. We're going to have a backbone about what you believe. Folks, let me tell you, if God sends you a prophet and you rejected the prophet, there is no more hope. If you reject Moses, there is no more hope. You can preach until you are blue in the face. You can have all night prayers. But if you reject Moses, you have rejected God during your time. If you reject Joshua, you reject God during your time. If you reject Isaiah, you reject God during your time. If you reject Brother Branham, you reject God during your time. Because the prophet is the mouthpiece. Are you here? Don't ever be apologetic that, no, maybe you need to lower the stature of the prophet to make it acceptable to the people. If no one cannot accept Brother Branham, then they've got no new birth at all. I'm going to repeat it for what I say. If you reject Brother Branham, you are rejecting God in the end time. Brother Branham is not God, but he's a representation of God in the end time. And if you accept him, you accept him. You accept God. Jesus Christ says, Father, bless them. And bless those that will accept me because of them. That means if you reject them, you reject Christ. If you accept them, you accept Christ. Brother Branham was a messenger from God. Folks, certain things are non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Are you still with me? But Jezebel did not like that. Let me put it for what it is. She was femme fatale. Beautiful. Stunning. Hallelujah. She was a sex queen. She used her appeal to maneuver around situations. She was pretty, folks. You don't say amen. She was pretty. Amen. Pretty. Spoke charmingly. Had a way with words. Her mouth was like a honey pot. She can mesmerize you with words. She can make a stone-hearted man to melt. She had a seductive spirit. She was a sex goddess. She was a trophy wife. When Ahab moved around, other men in Israel admired and said, only if we had a wife like her. But yet, in her heart, she was not as pretty as she was on the outside. On the inside, she was vindictive. On the inside, she had a murderous spirit. On the inside, she could not stand authority. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Brother Bram says in the message, make the valley full of ditches. He says, but there King Ahab had gone down and married this little queen or little princess. She was an idolater. He married out of the covenant. When he did it, it brought trouble into Israel. And she torn down. Boy, she was a spitfire, if there ever was one. Maybe a beautiful girl, beautiful woman, for all I know. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Now, he says, the first thing, this is now in the Seven Church Age book. He says, the first thing, and very important thing that we learn about Jezebel is that she's not a daughter of Abraham. Nor is her induction into the tribes of Israel one of spiritual admission as was that of Ruth the Moabite. No, sir, this woman was the daughter of Ethbal, king of Sidon, who was the priest unto Astarte, this a priest to a false god. He had gained the throne by murdering his predecessor. So we see right away that she was the daughter of a murderer. This certainly reminds me of Cain. Brother Branham is just bringing it right on your face. And say, without saying much, she links Jezebel to the serpent's seed. This reminds me of us, of Cain. And the way she became part of Israel was not through the spiritual channels that God had ordained for Gentile admission. But she came in by marriage to Ahab, the king of the 10 tribes of Israel. Now, this union, as we have seen, was not spiritual. It was political. Brahman says he wanted to gain political mileage. And so this woman was steeped in idolatry, did not have the least desire to become a worshiper of the one true God. But rather, she came with avowed intentions of turning Israel away from the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, determined that I'm going to make the nation backslide. But for me to make the nation backslide, let me make the king backslide. Now, are you still with me? Now, Israel, the 10 tribes, had already known that it was to worship the golden calves. But as yet, they were not sold out to idolatry, for God was worshipped and the law of Moses was acknowledged. But from the time of Ahab's marriage to Jezebel, idolatry progressed in a deadly fashion. It was when this woman became a priestess in the temples that she erected to Astarte, Venus, and Baal, sun god, that Israel came to the point of her life. Now, what we find out is that this woman, the Jezebel spirit, hates the prophet. Not only the prophet, the Jezebel spirit hates a prophetic voice. Are you still with me? But while she was there, then I've explained to you what happened today. Brother Branham says, the first woman that applied the makeup was Jezebel. Are you here, people? The first woman that applied makeup was Jezebel. And let me be unpopular. We are beginning to see that spirit coming into the message cycles. Hallelujah. Our young ones are beginning to put makeups. I'm saying makeup putting is a spirit of Jezebel. Whether in the message, whether you sing in the choir, it's a spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel, it's a feminine domination in the church in the absence of the domination of the spirit of Christ. And when you go and check, Brother Bram said, the Elijah in the end time, that spirit will be the spirit of Christ. And when I say Jezebel hates the spirit of Elijah, Jezebel hates the spirit of Christ. She cannot submit to headship. Hallelujah. But here was Ahab. Ahab was just a token through which Jezebel maneuvered. Are we together? But later, Elijah looked at Israel and said, Israel is caught up between two opinions, whether to serve God or to serve Baal. Then Elijah realized, we've got to bring this thing down to a showdown. This thing has got to be settled as to who is God in this nation. Is it the God that brought us out of Egypt, or is it the Baal that was brought here by Jezebel? Are you still with me? Yes. Jezebel had, the God of Jezebel, Baal, had prophets. Prophet, it means preachers. And as well, Elijah had preachers that operated under God. Are you still with me? Yes. But here was the problem, is because the woman had captured the throne, had captured Ahab. That means the palace was more influential. But then Elijah realized, we cannot leave things for what they are. Because the minister of Elijah is the minister of the supernatural. He said, let us bring this thing down to a showdown. And they went up on Mount Carmel. And he says, if God is God, save him. If Baal is God, save him. But here is one thing that we are going to do as an ACT. We're going to erect altars. And the God that will rain fire out of heaven, let that one be worshipped. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. And he gave them an opportunity to go first and say, you go first. You call your gods in any way that you want. And he was just there, relaxed. Are you still with me? Yeah. As he was there, relaxed, they called, they cut themselves, they prayed, and he mocked them and said, listen, maybe your God is sleeping. Hallelujah. Because he knew that he was not worshiping a slumbering God. The God of Elijah does not sleep. The God of Elijah is awake 24/7 and he watches over his children. Are you still with me? And after they had prayed and they prayed towards the evening time, That's when we see Elijah standing up and say, it's now time for me to call the only God. Amen. The only living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are told that he prepared, he fixed the altar. And he put the sacrifice on the altar. Then he even poured water on the sacrifice. I like a man that has got confidence in the God that he serves and is not afraid to take that God down to a showdown. And he began to pray. And as he prayed, fire came out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Not only the sacrifice consumed the wood, not only the wood consumed the stone. Our God is a consuming God. He will consume everything that stands on his way. And I'm saying this message is backed up by that same God. This message will consume any power that comes in opposing direction. And after they had prayed, then the prophets began to run away, 450 of them. He ran after them. He caught up with all of them. And he killed all of them. Then Jezebel got a wind of it that your preachers have been killed. And says, because of what Elijah did, I will make sure that I kill him. Elijah, when he heard that Jezebel was upset, he ran away. Let me put it this way. From Mount Carmel to running away. Brother Bram says, we will watch after that great service. Watch what Satan does on Monday morning. Are you still with me? Then he ran away. He was depressed. He isolated himself. Because a Jezebel spirit discouraged preachers. We see it in the end time. The Jezebel spirit is rising against the voice of Elijah. And we see preachers are beginning to be discouraged. They are free to preach the way Elijah preached. Now, while he was there, he was now under the juniper tree. When he was there, running away, staying in a cave, then God commissioned the ravens and said, your servant is hungry. And the ravens brought food to Elijah. Folks, God is the best chef. I don't know where the food came from, but it had the right amount of salt. They were just prepared the way Elijah loved his meal. Hallelujah. Already you can see an oxymoron there, because just imagine a raven carrying food to a prophet, because the first thing, the raven must be tempted by the very food. God is the God of the paradox. God does the supernatural. Amen. What was God trying to do? God was trying to encourage his servant in a moment of discouragement. The supernatural is not for the showmanship, but it is to encourage the church in a moment when the church is in despair. Amen. And if always say, what doest thou here, Elijah? And we have heard that he says, while he was there, there was a lightning, but God was not in the lightning. Are you with me? There was a thunder, God was not in the thunder. There was a whirlwind, God was not in the whirlwind. There was fire, God was not in the fire. But a still small voice spoke from within to encourage God's servant. Are you still with me? Let me put it this way, sisters. The Bible calls Jezebel a fornicator. But I've traced, at no point in time in the Bible does it ever record where Jezebel had any relation, sexual relation with any man. No, but the Bible calls it fornication. I can put it for what it is. She must have changed and influenced a new kind of dressing within Israel. Until young ones, they looked and they say, the queen looks that way, it must be right. Until the preachers were afraid to preach against it, because if you preach against it, you are preaching against the palace.
But while Elijah was against that spirit, until he felt, I'm the only one remaining. I'm the only one that is preaching this truth the way it's supposed to be preached. But God came to him and said, listen, Elijah, I still have 7,000 that have not bowed down to Baal. And in the end time, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe there is a preacher somewhere that feels the way he's preaching. He's the only one. But here's an encouragement, Lighthouse Tabernacle. There is still others that have not bowed down to Baal. Amen. Sisters, are you here? There are sisters that will refuse this modern way of dressing that is influenced by the Jezebel spirit. There are young women that will never be influenced by Instagram or Facebook. They will dress modestly because they believe and respect the voice of Elijah. Others will go back, but others will never go back. They will remain and they are into it for a long haul. Oh, this gives me an encouragement to know that there are some people in this end time that are invincible. They'll operate under the spirit of Elijah. They are not afraid of the Jezebel spirit. They say, if she kills us, we are more than able to come back from the dead. Are you still with me? But the Jezebel spirit has got perks, benefits, association with royalty, recognition, popularity, money. Are we together? And what was, when you look at Elijah, it is the man out there in the woods, sometimes not even having food. But let me tell you something. If you stand with God, if you really stand with God, God will commission the ravens to feed you. Amen. I say God will commission the ravens to feed you. And right now, Brother Bram said, we are looking for people that know what to do with thou, says the Lord. What do you do with thou, says the Lord? You live according to the principles of thou, says the Lord. Amen. Don't worry. I'm one Jezebel. Next time I'm going to come with the spirit of the Nicolaitans. But today I'm on the Jezebel spirit. It's a domination. Sisters, it does not recognize headship. When a man says, even in the family, when a Jezebel spirit comes in and the man says, we'll go this way, the Jezebel spirit always has a better way out. Some men today, because of the Jezebel spirit, they are just a decoration in their houses. They have been reduced to non-persona grata because they cannot say anything. It's the only the sister that can make decisions and act upon those decisions. The brother is afraid. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? And let me tell you, sisters, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you try to mother your husband, you are killing your marriage. Because I can't be married to my mother. No. You need to give your husband the right place and submit it to his headship. If he makes wrong decision, pray for him. Correct him with love. Back him up and cheer him up. Are we together? Don't go with the modern spirits where women start and say, a man is nothing. Men are useless. Not a son of God. Hallelujah. Yes, men are useless, but not a son of God. Yes, men are trash, but not a son of God. Are you still with me? And this ministry of Elijah will produce men of substance. Are you with me? Men with backbone, men with principles, men with standards, and they will adhere and abide by those standards. Why? Because they are under a prophetic voice. Are you still with me? And brothers, no matter what, Brother Branham has shown us how to lead our families. I've got no record in the scripture or in the message where Brother Branham beat up his wife. Are you with me? You lead by love. Are you see? You don't have a domineering spirit, an oppressive spirit. It does not work like that. Create an atmosphere of love in your family for your wife and your children. Are you here? As I said on Wednesday, you shall be the head, but not by tradition, and lead your family, not by tradition, but by the weight. Are you with me?
And I've shown you many a time, Brother Branham comes. He says, if there is a woman that needs to take credit in this building, is Mrs. Branham. Look at her gray hair. She stood between me and the public. I wish every young man in the building could get a wife like mine. Hallelujah. The people, the brothers that are under the Elijah ministry, they are proud of their wives. They believe in their wives. They pray for their wives. And they love their wives. Are you still with me? And if you are a brother and you are not operating under the prophetic voice of Elijah, as Jezebel, we're going to snatch you. I'm now coming on the naturally here. The way they dress. Without saying a word, they will say you. Brother Branham say, the liquor joint has got no capacity to send millions of souls to hell, but let a young girl dressed in an immodest way. Oh, goodness. Do you see them? Some of them, you are driving down the street. The guy doesn't even look at the car. He's busy looking at a woman there until he's almost knocked down by a car. Let me tell you something. The ministry of Elijah is able to turn the head of a man away from wrongful stuff. Are you here? The people, the brothers that operate under the spirit of Elijah, they are not enticed by beauty. The young men that are married and not married, they go beyond beauty. They know that it can look. That amazing grace. Imagine if she sings for me at night. You don't know. Amen. But a wise man keeps company with wise men. So iron sharpens iron. I'm trying to sharpen you this morning and say, have a long-range vision. Don't be impressed by silly things. Are you still with me? And if you are a very sober, a real, can I talk to brothers for a while? A real woman is not a show woman. She wants to be reserved. Hallelujah. She wants to be mysterious. Are you together? If a young girl is always in every brother's face, is a dangerous woman. Are you still with me? When I'm, sisters, you'll hear me. These days, and I see, even sisters, they've got no sobriety. Just beam on social media. Here's my number if you lost my number. What a shame. We come during an era where a man has got to labor just to know your name. But today you just beam your social media number on social media. So you know what I mean? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry can phone me. Then you know that this one is not a genuine woman. A genuine woman is reserved. That the day you get married, everybody will ask you, where did you find her? They know nothing about her because she's a mystery. Not the one when you get married, everybody say, hey, you don't know. Brother so-and-so as well wanted to marry her. Nonsense! Be a sober man and make your decision to be soberly. Young girls, are you here? There is nothing as traumatic after you got married as a young woman. And you are afraid. Even when your husband was with brothers, you just, oh, I wish that brother cannot mention that time. Because another brother can even, because men are egotistic. A brother can just buy a nice car, and this one that was supposed to, that you wanted him to marry you, and you were all over the place trying to propose. Women these days are proposing men. That is the lunacy of our time. The hunted, those that are supposed to be hunted, are hunters. Until, and let me, no, you are my daughters, I will advise you. No man has ever been proposed by a man. No woman has ever been, a man being proposed by a woman, ever accepted. He listens, then he goes to boost. Even when you call, she looks at the numbers. Tells the brothers, look who's calling.
boasting. The day you get married to another brother after you are tired of trying attempts. One day he's with your husband and wants to provoke your husband. Maybe your husband has got a better car. Maybe wants to bring him to humble him. He says, oh, you know your wife actually wanted me before you got married to you. A man can never recover from that statement. It will traumatize him until the grave. We are competitive. Are you here? We are competitive as men. You want to, every man, if you are really sober, you think that the woman that, you know it's not true, it's something that you just tell her, that the woman that I married to, no one could have married her. It was only me that qualified. Others, they stand no chance. That's what makes marriage special. But not today. Why? Because of the influence in the end time. But I'm talking about the minister of Malachi 4, minister of Elijah that must produce different results. Are you still with me? Let me just go through the characteristics of Jezebel. We realize the Bible says she was a woman, which means she represented a church. Remember, as much as I'm speaking about beauty, I'm speaking about even spiritually a church that will be beautiful. Today, goodness, some churches, when you go to them, they outshine nightclubs. I'm not saying we need not to have a decent place to worship God. I don't believe in mediocrity. I believe that if we've got a church, the church must be conducive for worship. It must have all the amenities that are required to make worship to be conducive. I'm not trying to condone substandard things here. Are we together? Because sometimes we've got to, if we really worship God and we really cherish God, it must reflect on how we serve Him. Are we together? But some churches can really outclass nightclubs. They've got this special effects of a nightclub in a church. Brasibu, are you here? You know technically. There are some I'm talking about a church on a Sunday where I'm preaching and there is a steam coming behind me. Different light effects. And what's happening, then they introduce rock and roll in church. Young men are rendering item there, and young women are there. Music is dangerous. Music is dangerous. You know that when Michael Jackson was singing, there were women that would take off their underwear and throw them onto the stage. Even during the time of the Beatles, music is dangerous. And music yet is necessary. It's so necessary, but yet so dangerous. That is why with music you need Holy Ghost-filled people that can come and operate these things. Because why? This was the specialty of Lucifer in heaven. Oh, the devil knows even you are a believer, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Being 40 years in the message. But the devil knows the type of music that can make certain muscles in your body to respond even unconsciously. You could be in a restaurant and a nice music plays, and all of a sudden, oh goodness, you find yourself tapping on the floor. What is happening? That music has got a certain effect on a certain muscle in the body. Satan, he knows music in and out. And let me tell you, not just a music. He was responsible for an anointed music in heaven. And if he knows that, it's easy to pervert it. Are you still with me? And that is why this music, I'd say we live during a time of standard. Even the music must have a standard. Yes, must be godly. And folks, you'll bear with me, you musicians. Can I make you uncomfortable a bit? I just wonder sometime. Maybe a person comes, hears a song, and you see they are rejoicing. The way it comes, they are sleeping. I thought when you are dancing, they are going to hand over to the preacher so that the preacher now, you can dance now and say we rejoice. Now we see ourselves in the way. Why? Because music can just reach the spirit surface and not go into the soul. It can just entertain the spirit. And that is why, musicians, you are not here to entertain. You are here to edify. Hallelujah. We want somebody to say, even before they pray, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. After I've listened, this has had such an impression on me. Why? Because we operate not under the Jezebel spirit, but under the Elijah spirit. Are you still with me? Jezebel is a woman. What is happening in the spiritual sense? Pastors cannot preach anymore. They are afraid of the church. All the pastor knows is just to come and just preach good stuff only. And after church, people come and say, it was a wonderful sermon, Pastor. We appreciate it. No change. No change. I was speaking during the week. They had invited me. There is a lady called Vanessa Marawa, the sister to Robert Marawa. She had invited me on a program. We were discussing the prosperity gospel and the role of charismatic churches in a society. And I simply said to her, look, this charismatic churches, most of the time, when you look, they've got no chain of command. You know, in military, there's a general, there is a commander-in-chief, you know all those ranks. I said, the charismatic churches, all you've got, you just need 30 chairs and a tent, and you pitch it, you have started. And then you can just say, receive healing, receive your house, receive. No. Even if that pastor begins to feed people snakes, you can report him to anywhere. But we, when we are a message community, we can excommunicate you as a message community and say, not in the name of our prophet, not in our name, and we can distance ourselves from, and we can even tell the world before they ask us about you and say, that guy is not one of us. Sometimes when you hear ministers coming boldly and say, so-and-so is attacking the prophet and we have got nothing to do with such a person, don't be there and say, he mustn't mention names. If you turn against the prophet and want to pervert the message, we must call out your name so that you are known for who you are, and we want everybody to stay away from you. Are you with me? Charismatic churches. Yes, we believe that our gospel can make you prosperous, but it's not the main focus. The main focus is godliness, is holiness. Are you with me? Jezebel, she came into the leadership by default. Folks, and you ministers, and I can put it generic, even on generic terms. If you are a sister, you are married to a preacher. You are not a preacher. Amen. You allow your husband to be used by God, not by you. I know a lot of times what has created commotion in certain churches, a sister has got a problem with another sister, but uses the husband to settle the score. And some men, when they stand behind the pulpit, they preach, no way, they are just the puppets of their wives. to deal with certain faction in the church and say, we've got to deal with. And the wife after the church gets into the car and say, you really sorted them out. What a shame. Our messages are not from the bedroom. They must be from the throne of God. Are you with me? Amen. And sometimes, if you are the kind of woman that controls your wife, your husband, we can frustrate you deliberately. Just say no to your husband so that he comes home to tell you that they say no. Yes. I'm not saying you cannot advise your husband. You can advise because you are a helpmate. I'm talking about a controlling spirit. Amen. We find out that Jezebel has followers. She had an ambition. That's what the Bible says. She calls herself prophetess. She's deceived by Satan. She deceives others. She has a sexual history, entertains lust. Amen. Do you allow me to preach here?
Amen.
What we call modesty today is not modest. It's absolutely no modest. Somebody was telling me, say, have you picked up that long dress or long skirt and long dress are now in fashion? I say, you think Satan is very cunning. It's not in fashion. It's a perversion of the real one. Are you with me? Do you allow me to preach, sisters?
Amen.
Amen. It is long, but the fabric, it is very, the texture. I don't know what you call it. You've got different polyesters and what, I don't know. But it is in such a manner that it's long, but it can shape. It shapes the body. In the spirit, she feels, I'm wearing a long dress. I've ticked the box. But yet it is shaping. Sometimes, allow me to preach. I mean, I'm the pastor. I'm the watchman in this church. When she's standing, it's a long dress, it's fine. When she walks, it shapes. Then you wonder, did mom see this? Did dad see this? Did hubby see this? But you find that hubby saw it, but is afraid. Are you here, sisters? If you can say in a church, if they say hallelujah, as a sister, your armpit shows, something has fundamentally gone wrong. Even you, brothers. Because this, I don't know. Even brothers, they want to show off their muscles and... cover yourself. A brother would have unbuttoned his shirt until it shows. What are you doing? Button up, man. Dress up like a man. Did you see this thing? I hope you are with me. Hey. Amen. A Can I, I'll be honest with you.
Amen.
And it's a confession. There are some people, when they are dressed, if I meet them at the mall before they see me, I hide. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I say. I'm so ashamed how they are dressed. I say, before they see me, let me just look the other way. Oh, yes, I've heard myself. You can go and listen to it on tape many a time. I said that. If you are a sister, you are not dressed modestly, I run. But if you are dressed well, I will even go and look for you. So God bless you. Good to see you. Are we together? If you are the one that has got Sunday clothes and the rest of the week clothes, I'm not going to greet you. I will hide. But I won't hide long. I will send a deacon to come and see you as well. Don't just think that he says he will hide, it's fine. No, no, no. I hide only for that moment. Are you still with me? I'm talking about the influence of the Jezebel spirit. And Brother Branham says, sister, you may be as loyal as you can be to your dear husband and never have done anything wrong and never broke your vow. But at the day of judgment, there might be thousands of men that you will be accused you have committed adultery with. Because the scripture says, he that looketh after the woman and desireth her, lusteth after her, she, he has already committed adultery, not alone, but with her. Are you with me? We find out that she was given a time, a chance to repent. And she turned it down. Said, it's not a big deal. This Elijah is a very backward man. We are living in a modern era. We will not listen to such backward teachings, backward preaching. No, we are far ahead. We are modern. She was not teachable. She refused to hear reason. Today, if you say to somebody, say, we need not to do it this way, there's always but.
Yeah.
Oh, don't dress that. But what if I feel comfortable? Yes. We live during a time where the word comfort is used loosely. What if it makes me comfortable? Oh yes, it may make you comfortable, but make God uncomfortable.
Amen.
Will you do rather be comfortable while God is uncomfortable? The choice is yours. She was very intimidating with her tongue. Are you with me? The Bible says, that's when she sent this message to Elijah, I am going to kill you. And today, Brother Rum say killing is not so much about taking a knife and it's just misrepresenting a character of an individual just to cut their influence. It's tantamount to murder, according to the scripture, even according to the prophet. That means a Jezebel spirit, it's a divisive spirit. And I'm glad we don't have such spirit, but certain things will forewarn you. Very divisive, thrives in conflict. She falsely accused. She said about Naboth, find two scoundrels who will accuse him. False accusation. And that is why I've realized when you are a man of God, you help. Certain things, as you grow and mature, you learn and you reflect that this is what needs to happen. A lot of times, you find that somebody would phone from somewhere Pastor Madiba, I've got such and such problem. How can you advise? And the Lord rebuked me and said, you are not a pastor of those people. Refer them to their pastors. So these days, if one does not worship here, the least that I can do is to say, where do you come from? Who's your pastor? I advise you to speak to the pastor or find somebody that you are comfortable with in the church that you can speak to. Because sometimes you can advise, get carried away, and later you don't realize it can be a snare of the enemy. Are you with me? I'm advising you, even you brothers. Don't just another sister calls you and say, it's such a blessing at Lighthouse. Advise me, how do you do? Hey, just say, go and speak to your pastor. Because you can be grossly misrepresented down the line. You've got to be as wise as serpent. She controlled with her ambitions. Because when she wrote the letter to the elders, she used Ahab's name, but to advance her own ambition. She promoted idolatry, encouraged him to do every sort of evil, made Ahab to do every sort of evil. She persecuted the prophets, which in this instance I said it was the preachers of the message during that time. She had absolutely no respect for those men of God. She overpowered her husband's will. That's when she said, don't worry about Naboth. The matter, I will sort it out. Leave it with me. And surely, she got it sorted out, but it was not according to the scriptural way. And God had to avenge the blood of that righteous man. You remember, was it Jehu? When he came looking for her, the Bible says she quickly rose and dressed up and painted her face to make herself seductive. Seduction is her weapon. And brothers, you need to hear me in this church. Seduction in the end time is a dangerous weapon against the sons of God. It comes through different platforms. You've got to be very vigilant as a son of God. You see, and I want to say, if there's no highest form of hypocrisy than for a brother to tell his wife, this is how you need to dress up, this is how you need to dress up, and he goes out, he looks at wealthy women and compliments them that you're well dressed. Are you with me? You need to be consistent. If it is not good in your house, it's not good anywhere else. You cannot renounce or condemn something and compliment it when you are outside. Amen. And I'm not saying you need to have an iron fist. Yes, you can tell your wife how she dresses. And I don't think there is no better way of doing that than for you to surprise your wife with gifts of dresses that you love. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Are you still with me? Let me just run something quickly and then I'm going to release you. Thank God, Sister Tepish is going to be baptized. Our children are coming through. If we preserve the standard, they will come and be convinced about this. We cannot convince the world until we convince our children. Hallelujah. So we are very much happy about that. Somewhere I want to wrap up a bit
Amen. If the Bible says, "Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet," Elijah's prophet always runs parallel with the Jezebel spirit. That means God does not release that spirit. You remember that spirit of Elijah came to Elisha, and then it moved from Elisha. It came to John the Baptist, and the spirit of Jezebel moved to, is it the wife of Herod? That demanded the head of John the Baptist. You see how they run parallel. Then you, in the end time, you've got Elijah. Then that spirit has now moved upon the church, which is the Catholic system that has got all her daughters under her. Are we together? But there's got to, as much as the spirit of Elijah came upon Elisha, in the end time, the spirit of Elijah must come upon the Elisha of the end time. Well, who's the Elisha of the end time? The bride of Jesus Christ. But there will be the school of the prophets that will make mockery and tell you, your prophet is going. This ministry is coming to an end. Brother Branham says when Elijah and Elisha got to River Jordan, when they moved over that side, the sons of the prophets, of the school of the prophets, they were there watching. And right there, that's when Elijah said to Elisha, "What do you want?" Then he said, "I need the double portion of your spirit." And then the chariot came and took Elijah away. Then Elisha came back to the River Jordan, and he had a mantle of Elijah. Then he hit the waters and he screamed, "Where is the God, the Lord God of Elijah?" And the waters parted and he walked on the dry ground. Are you with me? Then the sons of the prophets, they say, the spirit that was on Elijah is now where? On Elijah. So that means today, the spirit that was on the prophet must now be on the church. Are you still with me? And that means as much as when Elijah was there, here, he was accompanied by, remember, he moved from, he was running to Jezreel. When he was running there, he knew that Ahab was going there with horses. But God supernaturally moved Elijah. He outran the horses. There's a spiritual significance here. He outran the horses. The minister of Elijah outruns the horses. What are the horses? The red horse rider, the white horse rider, the black horse rider, the pale horse rider. This ministry will overrun all those horses. And without the ministry of Elijah, you're going to overrun by the horses. Horses, it means the powers. Political power, demonic power, religious power. And today, they have combined. It's a pale horse rider. But I'm glad that those that are under the spirit of Elijah will never bow down to these horses. Will never bow down to the pale horse. They will raise the standard. Because while the ministry of Elijah, it is a supernatural ministry. And let me put it this way. If you are a widow, the ministry of Elijah takes care of widows. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember he was sent to that widow whose oil never ran dry. Hallelujah. That is the ministry of Elijah. It can shut the heavens and it raineth not. It can open the heavens, then it rains. And Brother Branham said, the time is coming where a brother will say to a brother, "What do you need?" And the brother say, "I need a rain." And the brother will say, "Let it rain on my brother's farm." And it will rain on that brother's farm. What's happening? The ministry of Elijah is the ministry of the supernatural. And Brother Branham say, no matter how the church is trained, you see, the church will never thrive until the supernatural is known among the people. Something that they can talk to and can talk back to. So the ministry of Elijah is the ministry of the supernatural. There is something that you talk to and it talks back to, and that's God. Amen. And when we do like that, brothers, we overcome the Jezebel spirit naturally, even spiritually. Even sisters, we overcome the Jezebel spirit naturally and even spiritual, then our homes becomes harmony. Then the world will look at us and say, what's their secret? It's because the spirit of Elijah operates among them. The spirit of Elijah can make you know secrets before they are known to everybody else.
You remember when they were planning, the king of Syria was planning to come and attack Israel. Right there, Elijah was beginning to tell them, this is how it's going to happen. And when they came, Israel ambushed them until the king of Syria said, we've got a spy. And then one believer said, no, we don't have a spy. You don't know, there is a prophet in Israel. He knows what you are planning, even in your secret chamber. And today, the bride of Jesus Christ, before even CNN breaks it and it becomes world news, you already know what is going to happen. You know, one morning there will be breaking news. Los Angeles has sunk into Pacific Ocean. But to you, it's not breaking news. You already caught it on Christian News Network through William Maron Branham. Are we together? You know that Russia will bomb Vatican City. You know all these things before they happen, because why? There is a prophet in Israel, and that prophet is Elijah. Let's continue to be under the spirit of Elijah. We will overcome a Jezebel system, because this system will make preachers to compromise for popularity and for money. God bless you richly as we stand. As we stand to our feet. Be still and know that I'm God. She said, no. Run almost.
Oh, higher ground as Brother Philip Mafagaza will come and close with a word of prayer for us. Amen. Lord, lift me up.
I'm pressing on the upward.
Just say to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. That's all I desire, is to be like Jesus. With heads bowed, eyes closed, eyes closed.
How many desire to be like Jesus?
All I want to be like Him.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. One more time, one more time. Almighty God, we just want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for this precious afternoon, Lord. Heavenly Father, you visited us in a mighty way. Lord Jesus Christ, we heard from above, oh God. You are speaking to our hearts, Lord Jesus Christ, using your servant, Heavenly Father. May you bless him and the family, Lord Jesus Christ. We are so happy, Heavenly Father, that right in this end time, Lord Jesus Christ, when there is a lot of confusion, there is a lot of ups and downs, but you sent us the great treasure, the message of the hour, Almighty yes. God. We remember, Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, in the time of Elijah, Almighty God, when Heavenly Father, there was a lot of idolatry, Almighty God. You sent Elijah, Heavenly Father, to restore the altars of God, Heavenly Lord. So now, Lord Jesus Christ, we know, dear God, that we've got, Lord Jesus Christ, this truth in our hands, Heavenly Father. Now we come confessing the singing of songs that we want to be like Jesus Christ. The only way to become like Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, is when we obey, Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the hour, because the continuation of the revelation of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you. We appreciate your love. We appreciate your grace, Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, now we pray, mighty God, for your children, Lord. They have got different needs, Heavenly Father. May you undertake for them, oh God. You know their desires, Heavenly Father. You are even, Lord Jesus Christ, to them, Lord, that are in need of finance, Lord. You are Jehovah Jireh, Father. Even them, Lord Jesus, that are sick, Lord. You are the healer of diseases, Heavenly Father. Them that are broken their spirits, Lord. You are the one that is able to heal their spirits, Heavenly Father. We know, mighty God, they have come in the hospital of God. You are able to heal each and every part of us, Lord Jesus Christ. We know, mighty God, there is no one that can go out of Father without saying, Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has touched me, Lord, because they've touched them, Heavenly Lord Jesus Christ. We know a God that answers prayer. You say, if we ask anything in your name, shall be done unto us, O Father. And you are not a man that can lie. You say, even the earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away, Lord Jesus Christ. So now we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that may glory and honor come unto you, mighty Father, when your children will come with the testimonies, Lord, of what God has done in their lives, Heavenly Father. We pray, dear God, that Lord Jesus Christ, may they go out the anointing in the spirit of Elijah, standing against Jezebelism, Almighty Father. Because Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of Elijah is against Jezebelism, Lord. It is there, Heavenly Father, to stand militant with thus says the Lord. Then we are the bread, Lord, that can say we stand with thus says the Lord. And we can say shout out to the devil, Almighty God. We can claim everything that is Heavenly Father for us, Almighty God. And we can say to him, give it back to us, O Father. Because the devil is a liar. To whatsoever can possess, Lord, we are more than able to possess it, O Father. And at the mentioning of your name, Lord Jesus Christ, even hell foundation quiver, Almighty Father.
Yes.
We believe in that mighty name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And you can go with that name, the name of Jesus Christ. May God go with us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Till we see you on Wednesday. Just give us a song. Have a blessed week. Amen.
We lift you higher, higher, higher. When the Praise is the one.